My name is Peter Sawyers. I've got the incredible joy and privilege of being what they call the Academy Chaplain. It can mean many things. For me personally, it's just meant tremendous humility. I can stand here in front of you tonight. And I'm going to try and give it a good tonk just now and preach to you a little bit. But you know what? At the end of the day, when the Lord brings kids like this into your life and you see with your physical eyes, but more so when your heart just is illuminated with the spiritual eyes that you have, and you see God in each and every one of them, and you see how God is using them, working in them and through them. The year has come and the year's nearly gone, but I'm telling you, there's been such an abundance of joy, overwhelming faith and incredible love that has been built up in their lives over this year. And I'm so incredibly proud of all of you. Tonight being here is just a tiny reflection of what God is doing in your lives. And I'm so incredibly proud of you. I might say that again a few times tonight, but I just want to say I love you guys so much and thank you for making my life such a joy and stretching my faith and bringing me to that raw place of just knowing that God loves me and that's all that's enough. His love for you just the way you are. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Can we just open in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we thank you that as we share tonight, Father, and we look at the various ways in which you challenge our hearts and our lives, Lord, we know that ultimately, Father, it's all about you. Lord, we can have all the gifts and talents. Father, we can have all the wisdom. But at the end of the day, Lord, we need you to activate our lives and to catapult us into a place where you can use us. Lord, without you, we are nothing. With you, Father, we can achieve so much. And Lord, that's what we want to do in our lives. We want to achieve, Lord, as much as we can so that we can bless you, shout your name from the rooftops, Lord, and come to a place where our lives, Lord, are never the same. So Lord, thank you tonight for the privilege of being able to share with your children in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Just very quickly, I'm really excited tonight as well just to have Mr. Pedersen, our headmaster, here with us, and as well as quite a few of our teachers and some of our house parents as well. So it's just so good to know that it's not just the school where the academic input is so excellent and so of a high standard, and the teachers don't only love the academics, but they love what God is doing in them and through them. And when they teach the kids, let me tell you, they teach them with overwhelming love, and they teach them with a lot of patience, and they know what they're doing because God has called them to this ministry. It's not a job. They don't do a job. They come here to love you guys. And I know you sense that and feel that through the education that you receive. I also just want to say so much, as thank you so much to Yanni and to Kat, just for what they've meant to the Academy over this past year. You know, we've been linking up together. Yanni and I pray together every week, and we carry the church here and the ministry at Bridges of Hope up before the Lord. And we've just had a great session every week. We just love each other. We love what God is doing in both of us. And it's so good to have a friend that encourages me. It's so good to have your pastor with the wisdom and the insight and the love that he has just to be a part of my life and the life of the Academy. We've not only linked in our hearts together, but it's gone quite a lot further where our kids go to your youth, our grade 10s, 11s, and 12s on a Friday night, and they're having an absolute blast. We've also had the privilege of having Pastor Dave to come and minister to us from time to time. He came this morning and he blew the socks off us. Literally, it was wonderful. You're such a blessing, Britt. And I know the kids love you as well. So thank you. There are three categories of preachers. By the way, just so that you know, I need to say it up front. I don't even know if I fit any of the three categories, but we'll get there in a moment. But the three categories that you typically get in any ministry is the theologically word-based pastor that comes and speaks such volumes of wisdom that your mindset just blows up. And you go back to the word, and where did that scripture come from? And wow, is this what it meant? Because they're able to carry the revelation of God across in such a way that you're just blown away. Do you know those kind of preachers? Hey, they just know the word. They bring it across in such a way and say, ah, is that what I've been reading for the last 20 years? Now it makes sense. Praise God. Okay, it's not what I thought it meant. This is what it really means. Okay, and then the other category is, and I love these guys, they come up front, and when they open their mouths, it's just a flow of living water. The Holy Spirit just flows out of them. They're on a roll, literally. They don't hick and cup and all the other things, and they just go for it. And you see the anointing of God on them, and you get excited and stirred in your hearts when you hear them preach. And you think, wow, God, I'd love to just be in that presence and know you and preach the way they do. I don't fit into that either. Well, and then you get this, definitely not the first one. Yanni's had to correct me a few times scripturally, but anyway. the third category, it hasn't really got a name, but it's the category of preachers who, when God says jump, they just jump. They don't know why they're jumping. They don't know where they're jumping to. They just know that there's some connection between what God says and what you must do, so you do it. So, you know, these are the guys who jump in no matter what. They got no water wings when they jump in the sea. They just go for it. Okay, they run in front of elephants in the bush and they think, no one's going to harm me, you know. It's those kind of guys that on the outside they look incredibly stupid. But on the inside you think, wow, I wish I had a little bit of that in me. So when I look at the final category, I kind of can squeeze myself in there a little bit, because this evening you're going to hear things and hopefully I'm going to share some things that are meaningful. And then when you leave here, you're going to say to your friend or to the person you came with, what did he speak about tonight? I don't have a clue really what he said, but hey, I feel something. So I'm a little bit in that category. If you don't really understand what I'm saying tonight, don't worry. God will reveal it to you tomorrow. Just pray and ask him. And just trust that God is going to stir your heart tonight. Because all I want to do tonight is just share your heart with me. And my heart has been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart has been moved by the Holy Spirit in such a way that of all the years that I've known him, there hasn't been a year in which God hasn't done something amazing in my life. There's also been times where it's been really tough. But I've grown. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. What a joy it is to serve God. So if it comes out wrong, don't worry. As long as God blesses you tonight, and as long as you go out of here jumping and leaping in your spirit, because God has got something for your life. And you will know it, you will feel it, you'll experience it, and you'll make it happen, man. And that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. Amen. So I'm going to speak about something that might be a little bit weird. Like I said, it might not make sense, but let's see how it goes. Lord, help me, please. Start digging. Start digging. No, I'm not speaking about graves tonight. Don't worry. It's not going to be a morbid service. Okay, but we're going to speak on the topic of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, start digging. Say it again. Start digging. All right. You don't know what you're saying yet, okay? But it's great to hear it anyway. Praise God. I'm going to tell you a little story very quickly. I was 14 years old. And I'm still crazy about my fishing. Love it to bits. All the staff now, I keep telling them that I go fishing, never catch anything. But, you know, on the odd occasion, I do. But I love my fishing. And I grew up at the sea. And, you know, I had quite a tough life growing up. I didn't know my dad, my stepdad. I passed away when I was 18. I didn't really know a father figure. But my stepdad, although he was an amazing man, he came from a broken home himself. He didn't know how to express love. I never really experienced a father's love. And all I really knew was is that if I mess up, Dad's going to, you know, sort me out. The great thing is he always patted me on the back afterwards, and he was always uplifting. But, you know, it was bang for my pa, yo. But anyway, so on this this day, I don't know if you guys from Durban, you call it Shad, we call it Elf. The Elf were running in False Bay. It was an amazing morning, afternoon. Sun was going down, and the fish were literally jumping out the water. That's how great it was. And yeah, this little kid standing on the beach, and the guys are throwing their lures, and they're spinning, and they're catching up. I don't have a lure. I just, you know, got a hook and a sink and a little rod, and I'm thinking, I need to catch these fish, man. It's great. I knew my dad had a brand new silver lure in his garage. And I thought I'd ask him anyway, knowing what the answer would be. I said, Dad, can I borrow that? No, you're going to lose it. I kind of knew what the answer was going to be. Anyway, but then I went back to the beach, and the fish were jumping even higher now. And and I just thought, listen, I've got to catch these fish, you know. Dad will never know. You know that, guys? Dad will never know. Teacher will never know. I'll do it quick, put it back. You won't know, you know. So I snuck into the garage, took the lure, ran down to the beach, hooked it on, waded out to a little rock bank, chucked that first cast. Woo, it was great. Oh, and I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, I'm catching this fish. And I'm bringing it in. And as I brought it in, the fish came loose. And obviously, my lure was still going through the water, and it hooked onto something, and my line broke off. Ka-chang. So now I'm in this dilemma. I've got to go home and face my dad, and I know that I give everything away. So if he sees my face, he's going to know something's wrong. So I just avoided my dad for the rest of the night. And I went to Sunday school. I was only 14. I knew about God. I sang in the choir. But that night, I couldn't sleep. And all I thought about is, I've got to find this lure, because if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. And God, I know you can help me. God, I know you like to help your children out of trouble. Lord, please help me. I can't even remember what I prayed. But one thing I do remember, that next morning, low tide, bright and early, sun hadn't come up yet, I walked across the road and I just prayed a simple prayer. I said, God, please show me where the lure is. It was a big sea, massive sea. And I'm praying, 14 years old, God, please show me where the lure is. Hey, I'm telling you, the demons must have been laughing, I'm telling you. And the angels must have been panicking. We've got to help this guy. But anyway, I get down to the rock bank, and I kind of stand where I remember standing the previous evening, and I close my eyes again, and I said, God, please, please, I know it's impossible. Please show me where the lure is. And as I finished praying, the sun was coming up. And you know when the sun comes up across the water and you get that glisten, and it's so beautiful. But as the sun came up and it reflected on the water, something just about 5 meters in front of me just shone through the water. And my heart just leapt. I jumped off the rock bank and I walked to where the reflection was, and I bent down and I picked up the lure. Now, I'm 14 years old. Okay, God's just done an amazing miracle. He stopped heaven and earth just for me to get the sun in the right place. Organized, orchestrated it to the second that I'm going to find my lure. Man, I'm telling you, I ran back so fast, but I didn't run home to the garage. I ran and I woke my dad up, and I said, Dad, I did something very wrong. I'm very sorry, but I found the lure. He burst out laughing. He says, no, it couldn't have happened. I said, no, Dad, it did. So you're going to discipline me now. He says, no, I'm tired. Go play. So after all of that, you know. But I learned something that day. And, you know, I didn't follow God after that, and I went off the beaten track. And when I got saved at the age of 22, I remembered that story. And for me, it was the foundation of my faith. Without even knowing it at the time, God showed up. God showed me who I was and how big He was, just in one little sign, just in one little reflection, just in one little God Peter moment. And you know what? We've all got those moments. We've all got those times that we can remember when God touched our lives, when God did something so special that it was so big and so huge and so volume in our heads that we can't make a mistake. This is truly God. And I want to talk about those moments and just bring it into the topic of faith. And I'm going to try and do this as quick as I can. Faith is not a product of reason. Faith is not a product of reason. Faith doesn't come out of reasoning in a scriptural sense or in a theological sense of what makes sense and what doesn't make sense in the Word of God. Jesus told his disciples that the leaven of the Pharisees, they need to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Go read in Matthew. They did not understand what he meant. They didn't have a clue what Jesus was trying to say. They tried to figure it out, and Jesus looked at them and said, "What are you reasoning about?" As we all know, throughout Jesus' ministry, he healed differently. He loved differently. He spoke differently. And everything he did wasn't according to reason or to logic. And you know what, guys? That's the Lord that we serve. God doesn't make sense to us most of the time. Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my ways, not your ways, declares the Lord. The heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts yours." Things don't make sense. But you see, that's what faith is built on. Because when you step out of the boat and say, "Yes, God, I'm coming. Yes, Lord, I don't care really what my mind is telling me. I just know something in here tells me, walk out and trust you and bend down and pick up and it'll be there. Because why, Lord? You said so." And you know what? That builds our faith when we start to hear God. And when God starts to put things in our hearts, we cannot ignore it. And that's how our faith begins to grow. I don't know if any of you recently went to the Global Leadership Summit here in Belleville. Anyone? Anyone go to the Global Leadership Summit that was held recently? I heard such an inspiring few messages there that just really built my faith. And again, I just linked it to the things that God has been doing in my life. You see, logic and reason has become the norm in our society. When things don't work out, you try and figure it out. Am I talking to converts here, or am I talking to people who will agree with me? Okay? I'm telling you guys, it's true. We sometimes see things happen, or something doesn't go our way, so we think it's something we did wrong. Things don't work out, so we blame somebody else. Things don't make sense, so maybe we're not clever enough. Maybe we're as stupid as everyone else says we are. You see, it's become a norm not only in society, but even in the church. Even in the church, we've become conducive to, "This is the way it is in the church." Now, you can't do that in the church. No, actually, this is the teaching, and listen, it's sound and it's solid, and let's do this, because we do this every Sunday, and that's fine. I know it doesn't happen in this church, but I know that the church falls into that trap where they limit who God is and what God can do. Okay, and you can call it, you lack faith, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is that when God wants to do something, we better start listening. Because our faith is going to be left behind in such a way that we're not even going to recognize who we are anymore. We're going to lose sight of our salvation, and we're going to lose sight of the solid ground on which we stand every day. And that's a worry for us as Christians. So what is God challenging us with? I believe the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And as we start depending upon the Holy Spirit, God's going to start doing things in our life. I want you quickly to turn to 2 Kings chapter 3. That's my passage of scripture for tonight. I'm going to read it very quickly. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11 to 20. 2 Kings chapter 3, 11 to 20. I'm going to try my best, if it's okay with you guys, to finish at 5:30. Is that all right? Have I got your permission? Thank you. Can I squeeze more? No, I'm joking. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 11. Now, Jehoshaphat and the other two kings, okay, had been embarking upon a little bit of a mission here, okay, because Moab was attacking them. The king of Israel came under attack, and he asked Jehoshaphat, and they got together, the three kings, and they decided to gather the armies together, very good, solid armies. And as you'll read in the preceding verses, they marched around the city, and then they came to a place where they did everything they needed to do, but there's one thing they did forget, unfortunately, was to take enough water with them. They basically ran out of steam, strategy, and everything else. How many of you feel sometimes in your life you run out of just the basics that you need? Sometimes you can't pray anymore. You come to a place where the word doesn't make sense anymore. You come to a place where you've done everything you think you can do, but nothing seems to be working out. That's life, isn't it? That's real, guys. We experience that. And they came to a place, let's read from verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha the son of Shaphat is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. They exchanged some words. Elisha's young. He's very bold. He says to them, "Why are you coming to me? You know, why don't you sort it out, you know, yourself? And why are you calling on me now?" You know, we call out on God after we've exhausted our own means of getting things done. That's the norm for some of us. Please, I'm not judging tonight. I'm just saying we tend to do that sometimes. You know, we tend to just run out of steam. And that amazing scripture that speaks to us in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Says, "Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." In all your doing, acknowledge him. You see, God's in it. You've just got to realize he's in it. You've got to acknowledge him in it for him to do what he wants to do. I love that. And then further down, Elisha then said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you." And God fills his heart with favor, and he looks at the kings and he says, "We've got to do something here." But now, okay, verse 15. Before we get to verse 15, very quickly, guys, you know, we're very good at declaring things. And we're very good at trusting God in our quiet times to do things in our life. And we pray and we put on a CD sometimes. We've got our MP3 players and we worship. How many of you love to worship the Lord? Amen. It's an integral part of our lives as Christians. And something happens on the inside when we worship, right? Isn't that true? I've asked Emmalise to help me a little bit tonight. I just want to demonstrate something very simple to you. I believe it's very powerful. If it works well, knowing me, it probably won't work well, but just go with me. If I say it's good, then if it wasn't, just say it's good, all right? Praise God. Now, I don't have a low self-esteem. I just like to hear that it's good. Okay, Emmalise, could you come forward quickly and just sit behind the keyboard there? What does verse 15 say? Verse 15 says, Elisha then says, somebody read verse 15. Come on, read it out loud, please. "Now bring me a minstrel." Okay? I like that minstrel. Sounds like a squirrel. Now bring me a minstrel. Bring me a musician. They've run out of water. Okay? There's very little, okay, that they can do. They cannot conquer the enemy. They're stuck. All right? The poor troops have got no replenishment. And they cry upon Elisha, and Elisha says, "Bring me a musician, a muso." They're going to have a party. They're going to enjoy themselves. What? We're having a serious calamity here. Well, we've got a difficulty here, and you're saying that we're now going to listen to music. Well, as you know, it was strategy in those times for the musicians to go out in the front of the armies. And they would go and they would create an atmosphere for battle. They would create an atmosphere. They would bring the troops to a place of inspiration so that they could get ahead. They could build their faith and build their courage and go and conquer the enemy. And you know, we need that more in our lives. You know, we need to inspire our faith each and every day. We need to go where God is doing things. We need to go where God is speaking the truth. We need to put ourselves around men and women that are going to encourage us and are going to bring the best out of us. We need to spend time with the men and women of God that love you. that have a heart for your future and have a heart for your life. Somebody who cares about you. We also need to be in a place where we can just let go and let God. We need to come and have those times with God. Now, what I want to do, I just want to just demonstrate to you how important music is and how important worship is in our lives. I just want to read this out. God knows what you're going through. God knows your heart. God is going to do it. Don't give up, no matter what. Good words, amen? Jeez, I didn't convince you. Right, Emily's just going to play the most heavenly inspired music. She's going to play music that you've never heard before, that she's never heard before. And God's just going to inspire her and she's going to play. And just bear with me as she plays. And I'll say stop and then you stop. Is that okay? If you get carried away, it's all right. All right, praise God. Let's go. God knows what you're going through. People, God knows your heart. Tonight, God's going to do it. He's going to do it for you. Doesn't matter how you feel, He's going to do it. Let's crescendo it. Come on. So, people, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. No matter what. Stop. Was there a difference? Come on, of course there was a difference. You see, when our hearts are inspired, when God is doing something in us and through us, and we go through difficult times, all right, and He called the minstrel, He called the player, He called the musician for a reason, is because many times when we stare defeat in the eyes, when we look at things that are hopeless, God wants to inspire you. And the only way God can inspire you is when you take hold of the truth that He loves you and He cares about you and you start growing your faith. And you start taking that place of inspiration that you are in to a place of activation. Because let's be honest, we can be inspired. You've just come from your conference recently, right? How many of you heard things that you've never heard before and inspired you to become pastors and preachers and evangelists and things? Come on, put up your hands if God inspired you at the conference. You came off and you said, I'm going to do it. Right, let's play. I'm going to come back to Pastor Yanni and I'm going to tell him that I want to start a creche. You know, my garage is not big enough anymore. And I realize that God wants to do something. And so I'm going to come in and I'm going to trust God to have a breakthrough in my life and I'm going to start this new ministry. You might come and you might say, oh, my business is not doing good enough. I'm going to begin to trust God for double the turnover than I had last year. I'm going to begin to trust God that not only will I do it, but that He will increase. He will bless me. Hallelujah. And you know what? Another person comes and says, oh, hallelujah. I'm so excited. God's inspired my heart. And I'm going to go home. I'm going to sell my wife's car. I'm going to sell the furniture. I'm going to buy a Land Rover. I'm going to go into Malawi. And I'm going to see that last day for Jesus. Hallelujah. Stop. Thanks, sweetie. And then you get home. And you tell your wife, I'm selling your car. Pack up the furniture. Take the kids out of school. We're going to Malawi in a Land Rover. I haven't bought yet. But, you know, God's doing something in my life. What I'm trying to say is, people, even tonight, hopefully you're going to go home and you're going to be inspired. God's going to have done something in your heart, stirred something that you need. Because your faith cannot be activated without you opening up and allowing God to take you from point A to point B. You see, God hasn't brought us out this far to take us back again. Come on. He's brought us out to take us in to the plans and the promises that He has for our lives. You know, I'm just really excited because for a packed portion of time, we can do anything. You go to a conference. You come back. You just want to do everything. You just want to go for it. You know, you can conquer all elements. You've got the faith to resign your job and to just go for it. You know, God says in Philippians 1 verse 6 that he has begun a good work and you shall bring it to completion. You know, God didn't call you to start your faith. Okay? He only called you to finish what he started. Come on. You know, so many times we think, oh, woe is me. Am I going to do this? Yes, you are. Because he that began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. Just like God showed me when I was 14 years old, in a funny little way, just how much he loves me, I knew God had a plan for my life. And I came off a conference similar to yours when I was a couple of years younger, in 1991. And I was inspired, man. I was so excited. Man, I could have just sold my house and done everything and gone off to the mission field or wherever. But I knew that my wife would kill me. So I decided just to search the Lord, you know. So what I decided to do was just to trust God. And if you read on in this passage of Scripture, and I just want to go here very quickly. We finished at verse 15. Let's just carry on. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Now, he first calls him musician, and then he says, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that your cattle and your animals may drink. Wow. They needed rain. There was no rain. There were no signs. But if you want to see your land filled with water, if you are trusting God for a future, if you are trusting God to use you, and you've already, some of you have already laid the foundations, and some of you are involved in your small groups, and you're going out into the townships, and you're doing what is maybe what God has put on your heart to do, you keep doing that. Because we need to start digging ditches in preparation for what God wants to do in your life. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You see, you might not see any clouds or rain. You know, sometimes we can't even figure out what God is doing. You know, sometimes we look around us and we think, Lord, I don't really know what's going on anymore. But you know, God is calling us to something. And even though we can't see it, he's in it. There might not be any signs whatsoever. And this is what I love about faith. Faith believes it before it sees it. Come on. Faith believes it before it sees it. You know, faith picks up a shovel and begins digging. Faith picks up a shovel and says, you know, I've been inspired, but now I've got to dig. Now I've got to start saying, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? The Bible says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And I want to put this practically into a story, and then I want to bring this to a close. But you know, we can be inspired. We can have our faith stirred. We can hear a message. We can have a time alone with God, and we can come out of that so excited. But my friends, only God can send the rain. Only God can complete what he's called you to do. All we've got to do is dig the ditches in preparation for what God wants to do. Come on. You know, it's not easy to dig a ditch, all right? Physically, it's not. And spiritually, it's even more harder because sometimes we don't even know, you know, where we're going to dig the ditch or what we're going to do. But Elisha says, you know, just dig ditches, as many as you can, so that God can send the rain to fill up the ditches so that you've got more than enough. And I just love that whole dynamic because life can beat the faith out of you. Think about it. Life can squash you. Life can smash your dreams, your hopes, and inspirations to such an extent that you don't even know where you're going anymore, who you are anymore. But let me just tell you, the vision is still there. Hasn't gone anywhere. And God will send the rain. Don't be discouraged. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you. Wherever you go. In a heart, a man plans his course, but God determines his steps. All you've got to do, you've got to say, yes, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to dig a ditch right now. In 1991, I was inspired. I went into my quiet time that next Monday morning, and I began to pray, God, show me your plans for my future. And I don't know if you guys have ever had the, I know there's other kinds of anointings, but I had the kitchen anointing. God said, go pray in the kitchen. I don't know why. What's significant? I don't know. I just felt I had to go to the kitchen. So I went into the kitchen and I began to pray. And God began to speak to my heart in a way that I've never experienced God speaking to me. You know, that place where you know God, but then you come to a place where you really know God, where it's just you and Him. And He just begins to fill you just with this heartbeat and with this absolute overwhelming sense of His love. And that's what happened that morning. God began to show me a vision. And I don't want to get into too much detail, but He showed me the globe. And on the globe, I saw where I was in Pretoria at that time. And I saw a little road moving up into East Africa. And I saw hands, children's hands, thousands of hands just stretching out. And God said, I'm calling you to Kenya. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to be a missionary. God's called me. Hallelujah. That's it. I've arrived. Tomorrow, I'm selling that furniture. I'm selling my wife's car. God's spoken. Hallelujah. And then I go back and I'm all excited. And God takes me to Thessalonians. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Whoops. Okay, I better go back. Kitchen anointing's not over. Carried on praying. And God began to show me step by step what He wants me to do. And you know what it was in simple terms? Dig ditch. Dig ditches. Get involved in a home cell. Begin to use the gifts and talents that I have given you. I was in the Hatfield Christian Church at that time. I wasn't a member of a cell group. I joined the cell group. I became a cell leader. God showed me in that vision sheep pens. And He showed me in a sheep pen. And then He showed me outside the sheep pen, looking after the sheep in the sheep pen. And then I saw the gate open and the path going up into Kenya. And I knew clearly that God had spoken to me. I didn't have a shadow of a doubt what God was calling me to. Man, I was so excited. I told my cell leaders. I told my wife. She laughed at me. She had no vision to go to Kenya. She had no desire to go up into Africa. She was quite happy where she was. I was teaching at the Hatfield Christian School and life was great. You know, I had a good job. Everything was going fine. But that morning, God said to me, prepare for what I want you to do. Dig ditches. So what I began to do, just very simply, is I got involved. Any opportunity I had to go with a ministry team up into Zambia or Zimbabwe, I went. There was one time where the youth had a big camp, and it was called Takeoff. And they said, you know, your ticket to book a place is you say where you want to go to, and then I'll issue you a ticket to that land, and you trust God, you know, to bless you to go there. So I put Kenya and my whole family, we're going to Kenya. Go to the camp and trust God. And Rochelle's still laughing at me, shaking her head. This is not going to happen, you know. And I got back home. And then God one day just stirred my heart and said, I want you to take people to the airport. People that are going to the mission field. I want you to become a taxi service. And I want you to take them to that. I said, Lord, no, Lord. And I just sense God said, another ditch, dig it. So yeah, I'm digging. I said, okay, fine. And a big church, Hatfield, 5,000 members. Whoever wants to go on an outreach, call me. I'll take you to the airport. Man, I was busy. Everyone else seemed to be called except me. 1992 rolled on. 1993, 1994, 1995. I'd been on a few outreaches. I took many people to the airport. But nothing happened. But you know what? The vision was still there. My job became very heavy because unfortunately the company grew much faster than I was growing. I kind of grew myself out of a job in a way because the company had amalgamated and grew, and I just didn't have a business heart. You know, I was in human resources, and one day in 1998, the MD came and he said, you either do an MBA or we have to sideline you in the company. And eventually I just said, God, I don't know what you're doing. And I took the job, sideline job. All my subordinates became my colleagues, and off I went. And I carried on digging ditches. I drove home one night, never forget, pulled over the highway on the side in this rush hour traffic, Joburg, Pretoria traffic, and I just cried. I said, God, I can't anymore. God said, I'll never test you beyond that which you can endure. You keep laying the foundation. You keep digging ditches, and I'm going to do something wonderful in your life. And I want to basically just end with this. You know, I carried on doing that. The next week, I went and I resigned. I just said, look, I can't do this anymore. The MD was very gracious to me. That was the Friday. The Sunday, I go to church. The church has grown so much that they're looking for a human resources manager. And whoever wants to apply can apply. So, of course, I applied. I started there the next week. Now I'm in my home church in full-time ministry. I'm still doing the same job. But you see, God was busy preparing to send the rain because only God can send the rain. I didn't know what was happening behind the scenes because already God had orchestrated for a man by the name of Mark Kariuki to come and speak at a conference. He was from Kenya. A year later, I joined the church. People saw my heart for doing that kind of work. I went on an outreach. I came back. This pastor came from Kenya. And the next minute, I didn't even know what was going on. But they called a meeting, and they said, Peter has a heart to go and minister in Kenya. And this pastor looked, and he said, well, that's an answer to prayer. We're really looking for someone to come and help us in our ministry in Nakuru, Kenya. This was in 1999. Man, I'm telling you, I was so excited. You know what? If we look at Hebrews chapter 11, what does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, God was busy behind the scene. I didn't even know that. I didn't see nothing. I didn't see the rain. I didn't see the clouds. I didn't see anything. Now, just to jump to the blessing. In 1999, God started stirring my wife's heart as well. Not for Kenya, but for ministry. She had something else on her heart. She sensed. Okay? And she just challenged God that year. And we had had a great year. 1999 was a wonderful year for us up until that October. And just one afternoon, my family were involved in a horrific car accident. And a young man was killed. Had T-boned my wife was driving, and our two girls were at the back. It's just quite an amazing story because my youngest daughter had just, she's like me. She's all over the show. And she bent over under the dashboard to pick up an ice cream that had fallen off. And my other daughter had moved seats 10 seconds before the accident for no apparent reason. And this guy jumped a traffic light, hit, T-boned, and his motorbike exploded, and he burned to death in front of my wife and in front of my two children. Fortunately, they were only 8 and 11 at the time. They were 8 and 11 at the time, but fortunately, they were not hurt in any way. And it's an amazing story, but you can just imagine what happened to my wife's world. What happened to my world? God, you're about to do something in the mission field for me. You're about to call me out. You're about to do what you said you were going to do. And my wife's world just fell apart. And I'll never forget. She said, God, everything I did, I depended upon myself. And now I'm broken. I'm in pieces. And God said, just stick every bit of you to me. Just trust me. I'm going to do it. And at the time, she didn't really understand what had happened. And that was in the November, in the April. God opened us a door for us to go to Kenya to that pastor's church to participate in a women's conference. And we went there, women's conference. My wife was obviously one of the speakers. I didn't tell her because I knew I'd get into trouble. So off we go. I'm still digging ditches. Lord, this is a big ditch to dig, Lord. I don't know if I'm going to make this one, but I'm going to try. And we get there, and the most amazing thing happened. She just didn't want to talk. Now, she was really down, and she had had such a hard time. And but yet God started stirring something in her heart. You know, when you trust in God for your life, you trust in God for your family, and you keep on digging, you keep on taking that inspiration that you've got, and you build on your faith, God is going to honor that, and God's going to do something with that. All you've got to do is not give up. All you've got to do is keep going. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. 1991, 2000, 9 years. 9 years I cried. 9 years I went before God. God, you're going to do it. And the most amazing thing is that evening, we went to the meeting. My wife said, look, I don't want to say hello to anybody. I said, that's fine. It's okay. I went up. I introduced myself. I said, I've brought my lovely wife here, and we're together, and I'll be sharing in the conference. And it was a mighty women's conference. Daughters of God, it was God will favor you if you trust Him. That was a theme, and I see Rochelle waving at me. So I said, okay, hi. She said, oh, praise God, hallelujah. Come up, and she came up, and she opened her mouth, and she just began to speak, and God just did something in her heart. And as she opened mouth, she said, tomorrow morning session, when I start, this is what you're going to do. She didn't even know she had a session. She just told them, at my session tomorrow, this is what we're going to do. Said, thank you, Lord. And we got home that night. The pastor phoned. He says, will you take tomorrow morning session? The speaker hasn't arrived yet. And I said, yeah, of course I'll do it. No, not you, your wife. Said, Rochelle, you know, you have to speak tomorrow morning. Is that okay? She says, yeah, fine. Let's go sleep now. I'm tired. I said, but aren't you going to prepare? No, it's okay. God's already done it. You see, God was already preparing Rochelle's heart to link it up to my heart so he could do ultimately what he wanted to do. But he didn't just do it. He needed my faith. He needed me to dig ditches. He needed me to dig deep and to say, yes, Lord, I trust you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. We spent 8 glorious years in Kenya ministering to every inch of that nation. We went into the bush. We went into government. We went into schools. God blessed us like you won't believe. I have stories that, oh my goodness, I'll just cry if I begin to tell you. God did the most amazing things in us and through us in the 8 years we were in Kenya. I can't begin to tell you how my faith has grown and how my faith is still growing. And I'm not finished yet. God brought me to Bridges for a time. I know God's going to continue. But I've got one thing in mind. Don't stop digging ditches. Because God and only God can bring the rain. Yeah, I might be a bit crazy. Yeah, I might not do things academically right. Yeah, I might not do things strategically right. Yeah, I know I do get it wrong a lot of times. Okay, but my heart's not going to stop beating with that absolute passion to sense what God wants me to do. And I'm going to run after it and do it. And because God says it, not because I want to do it. And when God speaks, I've got no other option but to say, yes, God, how high do you want me to jump today? And I want to encourage you. You're going to go yet away tonight, and hopefully the word would have stirred your heart. But can you imagine just for a moment how Noah must have felt? Not Noah at all, Noah. Noah's standing in the midst of a difficult generation. And God calls him and says, build the ark, build a boat. No rain, no clouds, no nothing. Life is great. And he says, Noah, build an ark. I'm going to send the rain. Noah must have looked like an idiot building that huge boat. People scorned him and mocked him, but yet he continued to build the boat. Why? Because God told him to do it. What is God telling you to do tonight? What is God stirring your heart to do tonight? All he requires of you is to trust in him, not to lean on what you think is right. I didn't have a clue where God was taking me, what he wanted to do. All I knew that I had to carry on. For 9 years, I carried on, and I didn't give up. I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I didn't, because God has enriched my life. God's blessed me. God's blessed my children. I've got 2 amazing girls who grew up in Kenya. They are the best kids ever. My wife is an absolute blessing. She's my, what is she? She's my precious. And I just want to give glory to God. I know it's not easy. You might be sitting right where you are right now and you're thinking, Lord, what have you called me to? God, what is in my heart? Young people, you might be thinking, am I going to make it? Yes, you are. Of course you're going to make it. Just the fact that you are where you are right now means that God has a plan for your life. Okay, Sive read it. God has a plan for your life. If you seek me with your whole heart, you shall be found by me, declares the Lord. Emily said, God found her. God wants to find you. He wants to find you full of faith. He wants to find you full of inspiration. He wants to turn it into activation. And he wants to use your life to be a blessing upon this earth. And he wants you to be a blessing to those around you. God wants to use you. God is a passionate and loving God. And he's created you for a purpose. He's created you for a plan. A plan to prosper the nations, plan to prosper your world. You're a world changer. Your world is right around you where you live. Your world is at work. Your world is wherever you go with the anointing and the grace of God upon your life. Don't stop digging ditches. Don't stop trusting God for breakthrough in your life. Don't stop going to a place and hanging with men and women of God, hearing God's word, spending time worshiping him. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Keep digging. Pick up that shovel of faith tonight. It might not make sense right now, But when you look back after 9 years, you'll see it made perfect sense. I hope it won't be 9 years for you. But I know that God's going to do it, because only God can send the rain. Lord, bless you. Let's pray. Father, tonight we stand humbly before you, Lord, and thank you, God, that just as your humble servant, Lord, I'm not eloquent in speech and know all the great things, but you know my heart. And I thank you tonight, Lord, just for honoring, Lord, every word that I've spoken. Lord, for speaking to the hearts of your servants tonight. Lord, for stirring their hearts to a place where they know they must continue to dig the ditches that you've called them to dig. Because, Lord, when they come to a place of dryness, when they come to a place where they feel like giving up, Lord, Father, and that music plays around them and they become inspired, God, they need to pick up that shovel of faith, which is not a logic shovel, but a shovel of, I want to do what God has called me to do. And Lord, I pray with all my heart tonight that they would pick up that shovel of faith and begin to dig. They would dig ditches all over, Lord, as you lead them and as you guide them, Father, in what you've called them to do. I thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, that you are the one that inspires us. You are the one that sends your grace. You are the one that sends your love. You are the one, Lord, that creates vision and goals and purpose in our lives. Lord, what you have began, you shall bring it to completion. All we need to do, Lord, is to act in faith and in obedience and to dig those ditches. So, Father, thank you tonight for the incredible privilege, Lord, of being in your presence each and every day. Continue to lift us up. Continue to guide us and to lead us. Lord, and may we never stop digging. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
The Lord richly bless you. Thank you, Pastor Annie.